Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
We thank you for joining us this morning. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. It is the second Sunday of Advent. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Can't believe we're almost so close to Christmas.
It's unbelievable how fast time is going.
That's right.
Flies by. So good morning, everyone. We're happy you're joining us this morning.
Yes, we are. And we have a new cycle of Gospels. We are on Cycle C.
The year of Luke.
So, Bishop, if you would please proclaim today's gospel.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, looking at this gospel, the first part of this, those difficult words that we don't normally hear very often, you read them beautifully. But those were all the political and religious leaders during Jesus' time.
Right. I mean, you know, St. Luke wants to certainly contextualize the preparation for the Lord. And the best way to do that is who's who and who was reigning and what region. And so really the first part of the gospel is just the historical context of this after Jesus' birth, and of course in preparing for his ministry and preparing the way of the Lord. So we have John the Baptist, who is the precursor. So it's just a historical outlay there of where we are in time.
And of course, these folks during Jesus' ministry are all trying to thwart him. They're all trying to catch him, if you will, and keep him from his ministry.
Right. And, you know, you can see John in the desert, and, you know, there's the Essenes and these people that were kind of removing themselves from the cities and the corruption, you might say, of the big cities, and preparing for the Lord in the desert. And so it was kind of a time of removing themselves from the political scene, from the materialism, the trafficking of goods and all of these things, which are necessary for life. But we can get so caught up in the everyday busyness, which can also sometimes, you know, lead to corruption, talking about a few weeks ago on stewardship. But, you know, if we're not those good stewards, we can get caught up into this kind of dramatic world that we live in and lose sight of who we really are. So in waiting for this word of God, Jesus, who was, of course, John's cousin, we're looking for John to prepare the way. And so he, as many others during his time, went into the desert to purify themselves, to refocus themselves and their lives, and doing so in a very, very dramatic way, in a certain sense, like St. Francis during his day, kind of a reformer of moving away from the riches and the abundance and listening to God in a very deeper level of life. And in that, of course, John wasn't thinking only of himself, but he was calling other people, prophetically calling them to a repentance of life, which repentance of sin, those things that we attach ourselves to, and keep us far away from God and keep us far away from his love. John went through a ritual purification called baptism, which is a cleansing, to leave one life behind and enter into another. And so he was known as the one who baptized for the repentance of sin. And of course, we know later Jesus was asked, what is the difference between your baptism and John's? And John baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and Jesus, of course, that, but also calling us into a life with the Holy Spirit to mm-hmm. give us his own spirit in life through this this change of direction, this change of life in baptism.
And as we recall from some of the other readings and those that will be coming up, some people thought that John the Baptist was the chosen one. And of course, he knows full well that he is not. And as he says here, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.
Yes, I mean, John was misunderstood as the Messiah in certain circles. And we're in Advent preparing for Christmas, for the birth of the Lord. We see John as one of the central figures here because he was preparing, but he also reminded those who mistook him as the Messiah that he was not worthy to untie the sandal, the strap of the Messiah's sandal. So he really proclaims himself as the one who is preparing for the other. And so as we're traveling through this Advent time, it's a reminder for us that we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord again this year at Christmas. And that should be an everyday event, not just a once-a-year celebration and then we move on. But it's a constant thing to remove sin from our lives through repentance, through humbling ourselves in front of God's grace, the grace of his love, the grace of forgiveness, to enter into a deeper relationship with him, and especially now at Christmas time.
Right. And it's a time when you talk about what we need to reflect on, and we need to repent. And everyone gets so busy around the holidays, and we get so overwhelmed with all the things that we have on our to-do lists, but we need to have those moments of silence and reflection.
Yes, we do. And, you know, we ask why. Well, I think the voice in the desert cries out to us to prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. In this time of silence that you're talking about, I think we have to understand who we are. These images that John proclaims, the valleys, the mountains, the roads, the winding roads, the rough ways, are really metaphors of life. I mean, I think mm-hmm. if you look at it, there are many valleys in our life, low points, perhaps sins that we are habitual sins that we fall into, and they create this kind of chasm in our life, our feeling far away from God, far away from others. There are various mountains in our life, things that we feel we can't get beyond, certain hurdles that either are something inside of us or something that may be a challenge to us. You know, God writes straight, what was it, crooked?
Make straight the crooked path.
With crooked paths, we have winding roads in our life, and sometimes we get discouraged because we think, well, you know, my life's gone this way and that way, and we just can't get it together. Well, that's all part of life, and we need to be aware of those things and the rough ways that are part of life, too. Disappointments, challenges that we all have. So, you know, I think these images of the valley and the mountain, the winding roads and the rough ways, all of these things are part of the raw material that God uses to bring us closer to him. And we should not try to downplay those things, but this is what God uses to help us make straight the paths. But we have to prepare and to know what these things are in our life. You know, one thing is just to name them. A great exercise, a great way to prepare for Christmas, I think, is just to take, as you said, a moment of silence, to stop, maybe go to church, adoration, find a quiet place. What are the valleys of my life? Kind of look, do a review of life. Because Christmas is always kind of a time to begin again. What are the valleys? What are the low points in your life? What are the mountains that are in front of you right now, the hurdles interiorly or, you know, around you in the family, at work, etc.? What are the winding and crooked roads where we may have gone off the beaten path, we may have gotten distracted, or the rough ways, you know, the difficult challenges that are in front of us? All of these things will see the salvation of God. And it's a time to really turn it all over to the Lord and say yes to Jesus when he comes at Christmas. This is the preparation that John was heralding for the people of his time. And certainly it is the time, during this Advent to prepare ourselves for the coming of this salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. We don't do that anonymously. We don't do that without recognizing the sin that's in our life, the sinful environment that we may live in, the causes and the effects of sin on us, all of these things that want to keep us from God, and yet God, through Jesus, wants to make this pathway into our life, to lift up the valleys of our life, to smooth out the rough roads, to pull down the mountains of our life. But that's only if we allow that to happen. And so to be able to know what they are is already a step forward of preparing for the way of the Lord.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will reflect on the Word of Life for December. You are listening to Our Shepherd's View. We will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the second Sunday of Advent. And our Word of Life for December, even though it is from St. Mark, it's the same wording that we just discussed. The theme continues the idea of preparation.
So the Word of Life for December, which prepares us for Christmas. And so the title is, Prepare the Way of the Lord, Make His Paths Straight. These words are spoken to me. The Lord is coming, and I must be ready to welcome him. Every day I pray, Come, Lord Jesus. And he replies, Yes, I am coming soon. He stands at the door and knocks. He asks to come in. I cannot leave him outside of my life. The invitation to welcome the Lord came from John the Baptist. It was directed to the Jewish people of his time. They were asked to confess their sins and change their lives. He was certain that the coming of the Messiah was about to happen. Would the people, who had been waiting for him for centuries, recognize him, listen to his words, and follow him? Since John knew that to welcome him, they had to get ready, he gave this pressing invitation, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. These words are spoken to me because Jesus continues to come every day. Every day he knocks at my door. For me too, it is not easy to recognize him, just as it wasn't easy for the Jews at the time of the Baptist. Contrary to what is commonly expected, Jesus presented himself as a humble carpenter from Nazareth, an unimportant village at the time. Today, he presents himself under the guise of an immigrant, someone with no work, an employer, a schoolmate, a relative, even a person who doesn't seem to shine in the face of the Lord, when his face seems hidden. His subtle voice, which invites us to forgive, trust, and offer friendship, to refuse to make choices against the gospel, his voice is often drowned out by other voices that incite us to hate, get back what is ours, become corrupt. The obstacles hindering God's coming into our lives are like twisted paths. It's almost pointless to list all the forms of pride, the sin that dwells in our hearts and makes us blind to his presence and deaf to his voice. Each one of us, if we are sincere, knows what personal barriers obstruct our meeting with Jesus, with his word, with the people he identifies himself with. Each of us can say that this invitation in the Word of Life is spoken directly to us. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. I do this by straightening out that judgment that leads me to condemn someone else, to stop talking to him or her. And instead, I come to understand, to love, and put myself at their service. I do it by correcting any behavior that betrays a friendship, makes me violent, or disobey a law. Instead, I let myself be converted and even ready to put up with injustice in order to save a relationship, to be willing to personally pay the price of encouraging brotherhood in the area where I live. Although this month's passage is a challenging one, it is also liberating because it can change my life, open me up to meeting Jesus, allowing him to live in me and be the one who acts and loves in me. This word, if it is lived, can do even more. It can give birth to Jesus in our midst, in the Christian community, in our families, in the groups where we are active. John the Baptist spoke to all the people, and the result was that God came and lived among us in the midst of his people. For this reason, we want to help one another to straighten out the paths of our relationships, wiping out any twist and turn between us, living the mercy that we are called to practice this year. When we do this, we will become together the home, the family that is capable of welcoming God. It will be Christmas. Jesus will find an open road and will be able to stay in our midst.
The word of life, it is so beautiful, and it gives us an opportunity to reflect and refocus on all that God is offering us and how we can prepare for the Lord's coming.
He speaks of putting up with certain injustices, in order to save a relationship, willing to pay the price of being perhaps accused of something that really didn't happen, in order to save, the love of a brother, a sister, a family member, etc. And all of that is preparing. And as time gets closer to Christmas, feelings get hurt probably more easily, and tensions rise, and all of those things. But we're not preparing for Christmas, and we can't even celebrate Christmas in the right way unless we prepare the way of the Lord and make sure, at whatever cost it is, that these kinds of relationships in our families and our friendships and our communities are put in order. And so there's a lot of work to do, especially as you mentioned earlier, I believe in the first part of our program, that there's a lot of things and activities that are going on now. And whenever people get together to organize a Christmas program or something at the church or decorate, my goodness, get prepared, because we're going to step on each other's toes, et cetera, et cetera. But all of this is preparation, and the reconciliation, the forgiveness that's needed in these areas, just as a one example, are certainly part of preparing for the Lord's coming at Christmas. And what joy when we've passed through that and are able to celebrate the Lord's birth with great open hearts and to welcome him into our lives and into our midst.
Yes, and as is the case with many preparations, sometimes we just need to step back and be servants. Maybe we let others sort of run the show, and we step back and do what we're told, and then it will run smoothly and be that much more beautiful.
Right, and I think just in reading this just now, it's a wonderful gospel, really, to prepare us for mercy, too, because it's mercy is that reaching out beyond ourselves and showing the compassion and the understanding and the openness of God toward us who have, sinned against him from the beginning. But God's mercy is a grace, and it's that same mercy that the church, the Holy Spirit, asks us to extend to others, to allow God's mercy, the richness of his mercy, which is probably one of the most concrete expressions of his love, to allow that mercy to penetrate into our own lives first, and to also then extend that to our brothers and sisters in the whether it's in personal relationships at home, in the parish, in the community, in schools, but also to look beyond the parameters of our own relationships and look beyond that and to see who's out there that needs to have just a moment of experiencing God's mercy.
And back to the relationships, Bishop. When I hear mercy, I think of forgiveness. You know, if Jesus was merciful to us, when we go to confession, the priest is forgiving, but forgiving our friends or our relatives, sometimes it's hard to do that. But if we forgive from the heart, we move away from the hurts and instead show love.
Certainly it's involved. You can't really have mercy without forgiveness, but I think mercy penetrates even deeper because mercy is really from the eyes of God. I mean, you know, God not only forgives, but he loves us immensely. So it's almost erasing the offense of the other and with a deep compassion and a deep feeling for us. And so mercy is something that certainly includes forgiveness because you forgive an act, but you have a mercy on the person. So it's embracing that person or those people, if it's a group, with something that's more than just an act of forgiveness. And so it's something I think we all have to discover.
Thank you so much, Bishop, for your words and your insight. If you would now close with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O Lord, help us during this Advent time to prepare your way into our lives and into the lives of our brothers and sisters. We ask you to calm every fear, to fill up everything that is lacking in our life with your love and mercy, so that we can show that to our brothers and sisters. May we see your salvation as we prepare for Christmas and experience your salvation throughout our lives. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.